Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the TNA Impact Wrestling Lockdown pay-per-view press call with Jeff Hardy. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I'll now turn the call over to Lindsey Bynum. Please go ahead.
First of all, thank you everyone for calling in today. If you need an MP3 of the call or photos, just let myself, Simon, or Rowan know. So let's get through a little bit of housekeeping on this. Be sure to watch Impact Wrestling Live this Thursday on Spike at 8, 7 Central. This will be our last show in the Impact Zone before we head out on the road to our first stop in Chicago on March 14th. But this Thursday, it's a countdown to the lockdown event. It's the final battleground before the War in the Cage on Sunday. The Aces attacked Kurt Angle before he could show the world, but will Angle reveal his identity this Thursday? There will be a best of three series between Team TNA and Aces and Eights. And what will be the fate of those two female newcomers, the Gut Check contestants? Who will be the next TNA knockout? Now, Lockdown, of course, is this Sunday, March 10th, live on pay-per-view from San Antonio, Texas. We have Robbie E versus Robbie T, and we have our current knockouts champ, Velvet Sky, against Gail Kim. The tag team championship match will be Bobby Roode and Austin Aries, the current champ, versus Hernandez and Chavo Guerrero versus Daniels and Kazarian. Steel cage match with Kurt Angle versus Wes Briscoe. The Lethal Lockdown steel cage match with Aces and Eights versus Team TNA. And, of course, we have our World Heavyweight Championship steel cage match with Bully Ray the Challenger against our world champ Jeff Hardy, who is on the line and ready for your questions.
At this time, I'd like to remind everyone, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Paul Hinton of V2 Journal.
You were unable to travel to the recent UK tour with the Impact Wrestling. How disappointed were you to miss out on the tour, and you will be able to travel in the future?
I'm sorry, can you ask that again?
Sorry. You were unable to travel on the recent Impact UK tour. How disappointed were you to miss out on this, and do you hope to travel to the UK in the future on future tours?
Oh, yeah, I was real disappointed. I had to miss out. Definitely, I look forward to my return to the UK.
And while you were, while the rest of the roster were in the UK, how did you spend the month you had off?
Very, very rough. My dad's going through a lot of health issues, and it was very rough.
Thanks for your answer. Sorry to hear that.
The next question comes from Mike Johnson of PWInsider.com.
Good, sir.
Hey.
Obviously, Lockdown is a Sunday. It's going to be you and Bully Ray in the cage. As a veteran now, compare how you put together your cage matches compared to when you were kind of cutting your teeth and throwing everything at the wall and doing all this insane stuff to get over and make your name. How do you approach a big pay-per-view main event now when you've made your name and you're older and obviously your long-term health is more of a concern, you've got injuries that have been built up over time, versus when you were younger and trying to do everything to make yourself a star?
Mentally, I mean, my psychology, my perceived is pretty much the same. I'm not really limited, but I try to work smarter now. But I'm excited, man, because it's a challenge. I've had so many great cage matches, ladder matches, and it's just another challenge for me to top myself again. And you know, as far as my fear goes, I mean, I'm a little more afraid to try big things now, but I'm still the same Jeff Hardy. And, yeah, I'm just excited. It's a challenge to top what I've done in the past.
Why do you say you're more afraid to try new big things now than you were before?
Because I have a 2-year-old daughter.
Fair enough. Understandable. All right, sir. All right. Thank you very much.
Yep.
The next question comes from the line of Jonathan Williams of WrestlingWithPopCulture.com.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, yes.
Okay. I actually want to ask you about recently you released what I believe is the first TNA Records release. How has that been received, and do you see yourself doing something sort of like Chris Jericho has done where you pursue music and wrestling?
I don't know how the first EP is doing. What I've been mainly focused on as far as music goes is Paroxygen, my band's album. We finished it last week in Nashville, and there's 10 songs that are just on a different level as far as me as a singer and lyrically and vocally and all that good stuff. I've grown so much, and I'm really excited about that, which is hopefully going to be out around June, July, August, something like that. And it's going to be completely different as far as me wrestling and performing. It's going to be something unique, and I'm just not sure what that is exactly yet, but you'll soon find out.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from the line of Scott Fishen of the Miami Herald.
Hey, Jeff. How are you? Your opponent on Sunday, you and your opponent have such history, going back decades. I mean, I just thought, could you just describe working with him in this sort of capacity in the main event of a pay-per-view and, going and growing, growing as performers in the past, in the past promotions in WWE, and then now seeing you guys come full circle and be such successes that you are now today?
It's really cool. Just thinking about TLC matches many years ago and the Dudley Boys, the Hardy Boys, and to see those old matches and now to see, TNA in full effect and the way Jeff Hardy looks, the way Bully Ray looks. By the way, props to him. He's in the best shape of his life. And we both have, reinvented ourselves over the years, and it's just so exciting to be headlining such a huge pay-per-view, being locked down this Sunday and still being able to do what we do. I mean, even watching all those TLC matches and now to be on our solo path and doing so well, it's just really, it's really something to be proud of. And I can't wait to see what happens Sunday. It's going to be magic.
And lastly, this Thursday is the last time, on a regular basis that you'll be in the Impact Zone. Just what is it like for you looking back to see how the company's grown and will it be hard for you, to say goodbye to a venue that you worked so much in?
A little bit. It's going to be a little heartfelt, but it's time to get out of there and get out on the road. But I'm sure in the future there might be a chance to come back as a little, reunion show, but I think it's time.
All right, thanks.
Your next question comes from Mike Ritter of TNA Germany.
Hi, Jeff. Lockdown will be the first pay-per-view in Germany that's available for everybody in Germany without having to buy a subscription to a channel. So there's a good chance that people that haven't seen you in years will see the first TNA pay-per-view. What can German fans expect from your match, from TNA in general, and do you have any memories of Germany?
German fans can expect to see, the character stigma air form as always when it comes to any extreme type of match, and basically I have a lot of good memories being in Germany on tours, and the fans are just so great, and it's really exciting to hear that they're going to be seeing it Sunday.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from Thomas Alexander of Zoo Magazine.
Hi there, Jeff. How are you? I just want to ask you, you mentioned that you're more cautious now in the ring, and over the years you've picked up more injuries. Is it getting tougher to recover from each of the shows? And I just want to ask you as well, what's been a career highlight for you in terms of, when you're tagging with Matt as the Hardy Boys?
Repeat the last of that.
I just want to ask you, what's your personal highlight from the time you spent with Matt and the Hardy Boys?
Oh, okay, gotcha. And the first part was what again?
Are you finding it tougher to recover after each event, because of the,
the
injuries?
Yeah, it is. It's way tougher now, just being older. But I'm taking extreme care of myself, man. I see a chiropractor 3 days a week, I try to get massages when I can. I ice every part body that's hurting after every match, and I just take really, I work out more than I ever have. I'm taking real good care of myself, and as far as memories with Matt, you know, as a team, there's so many, you know, amazing memories, but one of my favorite memories of Matt is we finally got to wrestle at WrestleMania, and the finish to that match was just one of my favorites of all time. The original Twist of Hate in that chair, which that'll last with me forever.
Just one final question for you. Working, you know, with your brother as much as you have, was there any sibling rivalry?
Growing up?
Yeah, growing up and obviously, you know, when you were older and working together.
No, not really. It's just we're two completely different people. I mean, he does his thing and I'm just the way I am, and we're completely different. But as a team, that always collaborated well, you know. And I had big ideas, a lot of times too big for my size, but he was always good to bring me back down, and we worked good together. But, yeah, we just do our own thing and remain different.
That's good. Thanks, Jeff.
Yep.
Your next question comes from Chris Shore of ProWrestling.net.
Greetings from North Carolina as well. Wanted to ask you, Dixie Carter, of course, just announced that you signed a new contract, and I know one of the things that we hear time and again from TNA wrestlers is that one of the things they like about TNA is the difference in the schedule. With TNA going on the road, obviously that's going to pick up. It's not going to reach WWE heights, but it's going to be more busy. Is that something you knew about when you entered into contract negotiations, and did that give you any pause at all, knowing that your schedule would get a little bit busier?
You know, it is busy, man, but just being in TNA, there are those times when I get to be home for a week straight. But, like, for example, March is crazy busy for me. And it's just me being in TNA, I just like being the alternative. You know, I like being the other, you know, place to be or believe in. And it's the same 15 years from now. It might not, you know, there's a chance it could reach those WWE heights. Time will tell.
And just a quick follow-up, you talked about your injuries and here in the first few minutes and getting older. You're still a relatively young guy, but you've got some other things that interest you, your music projects, certainly your young family. How long do you think you're going to wrestle? Is this something you plan on doing for quite some time? Is the end sooner rather than later? You know, I'm not going to hold you to a date, but do you think it's a shorter window or a bigger window?
I have no idea. It's always going to be in my blood, and I think my body will completely tell me when I need to stop, and hopefully, you know, I'll be 45, 50 years old and still want to have a match every now and then. I don't know. I have no answer for that. I'll just, you know, time will tell and my body will tell.
Thanks, Jeff. Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Dean Olson of New Women in Australia.
Thank you for joining us. Now, you faced Bully Ray defending your TNA World Heavyweight title at Lockdown. Now, you guys have history dating back well over a decade. You revolutionized tag team wrestling in the early 2000s. I'd like to know what you're going to do differently in this matchup that you have in the past up against someone that knows you better than pretty much anyone in TNA.
What's going to be different, hopefully, is the unknown effect of any cage match, especially with my mentality and sheer and locked. It was probably one of my favorite cage matches of all time against Angle, the Machine. And this year, to come close to topping with what we did last year, I mean, it's a challenge itself. But I'm going to do nothing differently unless something I have to. Other than that, I'm going to go out there wide and just give it my all, like always.
No doubt about that. Now, I'd just also like to add, now, the fact that this is actually a cage match, like you said, do you think this gives you more of an advantage than it does Bully Ray in this title matchup?
I think so, yeah. I mean, Bully's good with tables, ladders, and chairs, and I think I do have the advantage in a cage.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us.
Well.
The next question comes from Jamie Kennedy of Fighting Spirit magazine.
Over here called Wrestle Talk TV, Bret the Hitman Hart made some really less than flattering comments about both Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan, saying that he felt they were, quote, worthless to TNA. You've worked closely with both those guys, and obviously they've had an impact on your career. Do you have any comments on the situation of what Bret Hart had to say?
No, I don't. I don't think it's worth it. But, you know, everybody has the right to their opinion. As far as I'm concerned, they're very worthy.
Cool, okay. And as a follow-up to that, you've been working against Bully Ray for many years, as other people have asked, and you have him this Sunday at Lockdown in a cage. He's obviously someone you know very well. He was known predominantly as a tag team wrestler. What have you made of his transition into the singles wrestling field? He seems to be in the best shape of his career.
He is, and that's really obvious, man. Devon's in great shape, and I always have visions, they're flashbacks, you know, when I think about a match that's going to happen, like this, and about those the DLC matches and how things change and people change, and now here we are. Bully's in the best shape of his life. I think I'm in my life, and it's going to be so interesting to see what happens when you put us in the cage. But yeah, we're both from the tag team area, but now we've pretty much dominated our solo pass, and we're just going to take it to the next level today.
Cool, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Brendan Dando of Pulse FM Australia.
Hey, Jeff, how you going, mate?
All right, mate. All right, mate.
Hey, you guys, you just wrapped up a month's worth of TV taping in the UK, and you're going to be taking Impact on the road soon. Is Australia would have to be next on the go-to list for international tours, yeah?
Oh, that'd be awesome. For sure.
Well, what are some of your best memories of touring Australia?
I just remember, when I was over there, went to the, the Crocodile Hunters Plus. It was just really cool. The people were so nice. The shows were great. And it's just it's so similar to the States and North Carolina, just, you know, with sense. So, I mean, I loved it.
Yeah, sounds good, mate. All right, well, good luck for Sunday.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Chris Duke of Original FM.
How are you doing today?
Hey, all right.
All right, good, thank you. I just want to ask you very quickly, obviously you weren't here in the UK for the past tour there, and you've cited the reasons for that. However, what I want to ask you about is the relationship between the UK and TNA. It's obviously very special to TNA, so, I mean, how does the relationship between TNA and the UK mean to you?
Oh, just sitting here, honestly, when I would turn on Spike and watch the shows, it was kind of hard to watch, you know, because it was something I would have loved to have been a part of, but just to see the support, man, and those packed houses and the love they have for TNA, it just means the world to me, because, you know, I believe in myself sometimes, and just believe in TNA as well is so cool.
Another thing that the UK had exclusively to us was the TNA British Bootcamp series, which is now over, and Rockstar Spud has made his way over to the US getting ready to debut for Impact Wrestling. How do you feel that Spud will do on the Impact roster, and do you feel that he'll fit in, and have you seen Spud wrestle, as a matter of fact?
Is he the one that did the dive, the pretty nasty dive, and hit the guardrail?
That was Marty Scurll. That was the other one. Rockstar Spud's the winner. He's the guy who's coming over to further his career with TNA.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not that familiar with him, but I definitely look forward to it.
Brilliant. Well, thanks very much for your time, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Andrew Downs of Ministry of Slam.
Hi. My question to you is, obviously, when you were growing up, when you were younger, you and your brother Matt established Omega Wrestling. Now, Omega Wrestling was one of the most kind of unknown promotions, but it established some of the biggest stars that we saw in the 90s and early 2000s, citing names such as yourself, Matt, Shannon Moore, Shane Helms. Now, during this time, what did you learn about making stars in the wrestling business, and is there anything you brought from that experience to TNA that could make stars in the future?
Are you talking about back in Omega when we all first started?
Yeah, when you all first started out, like, was there anything you can take from that experience that you can apply when helping out younger stars today?
Oh, well, I mean, pretty much you recognize talent, and, I mean, you can mold them to a certain extent, but it really comes down to being naturally talented, and we were lucky enough to all be naturally talented. But, you know, from time to time, you'll see a guy or a young talent cut check or whatever it may be, and you can sense the fact that he's got it, he just needs to be molded a little bit. But, yeah. Just now, I'm at the point in my career when I just, you know, I compliment, you know, when somebody's doing something right, I'm just like, keep doing what you're doing, man. And it's just so hard to be unique because so much has been done. But every now and then, see that.
Great. And now, is there anybody from your Omega days that you wish had made it that hasn't? For example, somebody like, I've forgotten his name, which isn't great. He debuted in Gutcheck recently. Apologies for this.
Christian York.
Christian York. I was going to call him Joey Matthews, but I couldn't remember his TNA name. Do you feel that he could have done more in the business?
Yeah, he's good, man. The one guy I hate that was so, back in those days, he was Joey Abs in WWE for a little bit, but Jason Arts was a good friend of ours, too. God, when I speak of national talent, I mean, he had it. But yeah, I wish he could have prevailed.
Yeah, it was a real shame what happened, especially with him and Matt and how their relationship deteriorated. But,
for sure.
Thanks very much, Jeff.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Ethan Nash of Wrestle Hustle Australia.
Jeff, good to speak to you.
Thank you.
Considering your experience, following on from a couple of other questions, my question to you is, how do you prepare yourself for a match where not only you're going up against Bully Ray, a man who obviously knows you very well, but a match where you're surrounded by steel at every turn? Is there any specific mental or physical preparation you go through? You mentioned taking care of your body.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing is just knowing, acknowledging the fact that there is no to run, you know, as far as if you are in danger, and then again, it's inspiration for escape. You just do whatever you have to do to escape if you can't run or if you can't pin or make the guy submit, and just, you know, being in that cage, you know, it's like two animals locked in there just fighting to the death, and escape is a huge thing, and, you know, you pretty much just go in there with an open mind that I'm the world champion, I got to do whatever it takes to keep this world championship. And that's the way I'm looking at it.
Awesome. And one final question, if I can add. What can we expect from Jeff Hardy in 2013?
In 2013, I think it's going to be the most exciting year in my professional wrestling career. In 2012, I set a goal to have a great 2012, and I had a phenomenal 2012. This was the best year of my professional wrestling career so far, and 2013 is just going to be more exciting because more of the true and complete charismatic enigma is going to be seen, and just there's a lot of exciting things that are going to happen. It'll be great.
I'm looking forward to it, so thank you for your time.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Dan Blondsoul of the Total Wrestling Show.
One of the questions I want to ask you was, obviously, this Sunday you're against Bully Ray in the main event of Lockdown, a real kind of milestone for both your careers, considering how you sort of developed through the business together. The fact that you've been in so many matches and so many different style matches over the years, does this help or even hinder you in any kind of way?
I think it helps, definitely, because comfort often through other than a normal wrestling match. I somehow find comfort there. Tables and
another a question I had, which is kind of slightly different from that. Obviously, you mentioned earlier on you've got a two-year-old child now. How are you finding that work-life balance now, bear in mind you're not in a normal 9-to-5 job?
Being a pro wrestler and a father.
Yeah, that's correct, yes.
Yeah, there is. I mean, because, you know, you do think a lot more because, you know, I have to be here for my daughter. I need to do whatever I can to stay healthy and, you know, take her so long. But there's a good balance, especially with family. Like, I mean, really loved by everyone. You know, it's just really cool to be in TNA now because it's like it is, and they're definitely about
good luck this Sunday, Jeff.
Thanks.
The next question comes from Chris Kelly of HeadboxToHeadlines.com.
As world champion, you have to scout the whole roster. Who do you think will, like, in one day be a future world champion?
Let me see. I have to say, gosh, there's many to choose from. There's so much talent in TNA. I already screwed everybody wrong. Speaking of on this.
Your next question comes from Thomas Alexander of Zoo Magazine.
Hi again, Jeff. I just want to ask you about you know, one of your hobbies, motocross. I seen a video online of you doing a jump over what appeared to be some sort of volcano. I just want to ask you, how did that come about, and do you have any more crazy jumps planned?
No, but I do. That's something I miss and I kind of need in my life. My track is still here. It's kind of in bad shape, but yeah, nothing big, man. That was just inspired back in the day because I had a volcano I would burn trash in, and I thought it would be cool to jump over, and the video turned out really cool, but yeah, nothing big, but I would like to find more time in my life to ride more for sure, because that's always going to be a part of me.
It was pretty impressive. And, you know, and would you say that your wife is more worried about you in the ring or when you're out in the motorbike doing your jumps?
Can you say that again?
And would you say that your wife is more worried about you when you're in the ring or when you're out doing your jumps on your motorbike?
Oh, probably. I mean, it's pretty equal, but I would say I've been on that dirt bike. It's pretty scary to watch. But, yeah, I would say it's pretty equal.
That's good. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Jason Redpath of Alternative Wrestling Magazine.
All right. You've been through some tough times throughout your life. I was just wondering who's been your biggest inspiration, both professionally and personally.
Can you ask that again? Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. You've been through some tough times throughout your life. I was just wondering who's been your biggest inspiration, both professionally and personally.
Inspiration, man. Eddie Vedder always inspires me, just listening to his music. And music's always been there for me, especially the creative process. It always makes me feel better when my guitar player sends me a song and I write lyrics to it. But yeah, overall, and my dad is my hero. He's the inspiration for sure.
Okay.
Your next question comes from David Dunn of NZPWI.
The new TNA pay-per-view schedule, Lockdown's just one of 4 live events that you've got going this year. So how important does that make the show to you, and how important is it for fans to go out there and order the pay-per-view this weekend?
It's real important because, you know, to be successful out on the road, we need the fans to back us, and we need them to come to the shows, and we're going to you know, perform to our best abilities to give them a great show. So, yeah, it's very important. So we get bigger and better and just everything works.
And what significance does the show have to you that now it's one of, you know, only sort of four opportunities to get out there and showcase what you can do on a huge stage?
It's huge because we've been in Orlando for so long and you see a lot of similar faces, and it's just necessary to kind of get out, especially as hard as all the talent works, you know, at TNA, and to get out on the road and see different faces and bigger crowds just to make the whole product better.
So good luck for the weekend.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Andrew Downs of Ministry of Slam.
As somebody who's followed your career, it's well known that you and Matt, basically the entire time that you've been in the wrestling industry, you've always had a camera with you, and you've filmed every single thing that you've done, from your road trips to hanging out at your house to even being at the arena. What I want to know is this something that still happens? Do you and Matt still record as much of your lives as you used to? And do you record, like, every single step of your daughter's life to keep as a memory the same way as you've done yourself?
Yeah, we used to do that all the time back in the day when we were the nobodies going on the worth of trips, and then we would film so much. And, but yeah, I film my daughter a lot. When she's 15 years old, she's going to have a hell of a video to watch. I mean, because every step of her life, I think that's documented. But yeah, we don't do that as much as we used to. But I'm glad that we did back in the day because we captured a lot of great moments.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good footage, and to give you a cheap plug, you can see it on HardyShow.com, which is a follow-up to this. Is the HardyShow.com, obviously you bought that from Matt, I believe, is this something you want to do more with, and will we see more from the Hardy Show in the future?
I didn't buy it from Matt. That's still all up to Matt. That's why I don't know what's happening. Hopefully on the road sometime, you know, we'll do something else. I do miss, that was always fun. You know, I've always considered it video art, just to have an idea, especially with characters or whatever, and a storyline and do it. But yeah, that's, I don't know what's going to happen with that. Matt owns it.
Okay. Well, just as one last follow-up to that, obviously, that gave the Hardy Brothers a really great internet presence. Now, we've seen Matt has his YouTube channel, Matt Hardy Brand, and he's on there all the time. But how do you feel YouTube helps TNA Wrestling and Impact Wrestling? Obviously, they put up clips of the show immediately after Impact. Do you think this helps people view the product? And do you think it helps people in other countries view the product who maybe can't get it on their television?
It seems like it would, but man, that's the biggest difference between Matt and I. I've kind of stayed behind, man. I hate to say that, but I'm more old school, and I don't, you know, I Instagram my pictures. That's what I do with Twitter, but you know, maybe one day I'll get into it. But yeah, it's gotta help. But I'm just not that guy.
Yeah. Thanks. If I just have time for one more thing, we've talked a lot about Matt in that series of questions. Obviously, he's doing a lot just now on the independents. Do you think we'll ever see him back in TNA, and do you think we'll see Hardy versus Hardy for the title belt at Bound for Glory one day?
It would be cool. I mean, that would definitely be cool, but that's completely up to TNA and Matt. You know, I'm doing my own thing.
Yeah. Right, great. Thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from Mike Johnson of PWInsider.com.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. One thing I don't think we touched upon so far was that you had signed a new contract with TNA. Obviously, that was a major deal for them because you're one of the top names in the company and one of the top merchandise sellers, if not the top merchandise seller. You know, what were those negotiations like for you? Was it an easy choice to sign on to stay with the company, or were you looking at the outside and maybe taking some time off and doing some other things? Like, talk us through the process of deciding to stay.
I found myself at one point, but then I was just thinking about what the right thing to do was, and overall with a daughter now and really loving the creative process of my songs that's been going on, and TNA helping me with that. I mean, that's the most important thing to me. And so, yeah, I would say more than anything, tell Oliver and learn to TNA's music guy. But so, biggest reason, probably.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Our next question comes from Kevin Fields with Angry Mark.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for being on the conference call with us today. Considering everything else that was mentioned already on the conference call, is there anything in your professional wrestling career that you feel you have not yet accomplished? What's on your radar that you'd like to see be able to do either in TNA or outside of TNA in the future?
As far as wrestling?
Yes.
Nothing until I have some outrageous idea. I've pretty much done all I've ever wanted to do. But now, just, you know, with the kids and all the creatures, it's just important that I just continue doing what I'm doing. And it's people, I mean, to remain creative, inspire.
Okay. And just a quick follow-up second question. When you go into the ring with Bully Ray this Sunday, he offered to help you and stand behind you recently. With that in mind, and considering that he has a history of turning against his friends at some times out of his own self-interest, and considering that he is the number one contender to your title, do you think you can trust him this Sunday?
You know, this is professional wrestling, and you have to take chances, and I am. I'm taking the chance by trusting him. You know, even as a tag team partner, last week on Impact, I was taking a chance. But that's what I do, and hopefully it's a good one to take.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Next question comes from Paul Hinton of V2 Journal.
Hi, Jeff. Looking back at your early tag team feuds with the Dudleys and Edge and Christian, did you have any thoughts on which of those would be most likely, or which of you and the others would be most likely to really excel as a singles competitor?
Can you ask that one more time, please?
Looking back at your feuds with Edge and Christian, yourself and Matt, and the Dudleys, what were your thoughts at the time on who would be the most likely to excel in singles competition?
Oh, gotcha. I think Edge, back at the day, you know, he was kind of there before we were. We always kind of, overall, like, you know, I kind of always knew I would eventually start doing my own thing, and but yeah, I'm just, you know, it's good to know that everybody's done well for themselves. But yeah, overall, back in the day, we always knew Edge was going to be huge, and he damn sure was.
That's it. Just with Bully entering singles competition a lot later in his career than you and probably most of the others, did you think the chances of you two meeting at a world title level had passed?
Can you ask that one more time? I'm sorry.
Sorry. With Bully Ray entering his singles career later in his career than yourself, what did you think the chances of you two facing off for the world title would have passed?
In a way, yeah, it is kind of. It's kind of surprising, but no, it's really not, because, you know, he's. As far as hearing him on the mic, whether he's Bully Ray, being cool, he's really doing well for himself. And now it seems like, you know, even back in the day, like, we always had good chemistry in all those DLC matches. Whenever we got together, it was always great. I'm glad it's going to be seen, and it's perfect timing.
Excellent. Thanks very much, Jeff.
Thanks.
Next question comes from Thomas Alexander of Zoom Magazine.
You mentioned that you're motivated by your fans. It helps you keep going. I just want to ask you, throughout the years, what's been the most bizarre experience you've had with one of your fans? Any bizarre gifts or any bizarre requests?
The main one, it always sticks out. It was I got a letter from a fan, this was many years ago, and she
just got the vampire face. She had blood on the paper. She said it was her blood, and the much do with her blood. And if it was real, that's a little freaky.
But that certainly does sound a bit freaky. And I just want to ask you, if you could wrestle any past legend in their prime, who would it be and why?
Right now, at this point in my career, I would say Jushin Thunder Liger.
Sorry?
Jushin Thunder Liger from Japan.
Right.
Yeah, is that... What was the question?
Yeah, it's just to ask you, any past legend who you would like to wrestle in their prime.
Yeah, and I would say, I mean, even, you know, I got to wrestle Shawn Michaels one time. That was a match with him.
That's good, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Scott Fishman of the Miami Herald.
On the passing of Paul Bearer, I know you worked with him in the past, and we just found out last night, so I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, my wife had told me that, and that's just really sad. He was, but I'm glad to say I was able to know him, and what a great man he was.
All right, thanks.
The next question comes from Andrew Downs of Ministry of Slam.
Hi again, Jeff. Now, obviously, before you were the charismatic enigma, Jeff Hardy, you were an enhancement talent in WWE, wrestling as sometimes as Jeff Harvey and all sorts of other names. Do you feel this is something that's missing from wrestling nowadays? Obviously, the Monday Night Wars made it to a point where it had to be star versus star, but do you think that for the development of younger wrestlers, the enhancement spot is needed to develop stars?
I do, man. Honestly, that's a huge thing that I miss, you know, with professional wrestling, because I can remember when I was, you know, the nobody, and I would be at home watching wrestling, and I was so excited to see the other nobodies and compare myself to them, and how I can be better than that nobody and to be somebody. And it was just that, overall, that's something I miss dearly in professional wrestling. And I think it would be a help.
Fantastic. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks.
Okay, this is going to be the last question. The last question comes from the line of Kevin Fields of Angry Mark.
Thank you again, Jeff. Just for a question that came up in our Facebook chat from one of our casual fans from the site. For the other casual fans, can you explain your makeup that you apply and specifically why you paint your eyelids?
It actually, you know, got started. I did a YouTube video and I just tried it. You know, Johnny Depp had, you know, done it in one of the Pirates movies. It was the only other one I can really think of. And there's been other movies I saw it done, but then I just had done it in that YouTube show, and I thought to myself, wow, I should try this, being I paint my face anyway. And I paint when I'm at home all the time on canvas. And so what's cool about what I do as a professional wrestler now is each and every night I perform, my face just becomes my canvas, and I document it on Instagram every night, and I've got such a great collection now, and it's just so cool that I can continue to be different because it's never the same, and I could never repeat the same design. And that's one of the funnest things about who and how I am now is each night I have a different face, and sometimes I impress myself.
Thank you so much.
It's also just another thing is like, and I work with Sting, you know, when I was a kid, that was one of the coolest things I remember about going to a professional wrestling show is seeing his face and reaching out and touching his shoulder. And, oh, my God, that dude is so cool. Why does he paint his face? I don't know, but I love it. And it's just now that I'm kind of doing that same thing and took it to another level. Just it impresses me.
Again, thank you so much, and good luck on the pay-per-view this Sunday.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for calling in today. Be sure to watch Impact Wrestling Live this Thursday on Spike TV and Lockdown Live on pay-per-view this Sunday, March 10th. Everyone have a great day. Thank you. Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.